Donald mentioned earlier, our scripture reading this morning will be coming from the book of Galatians, the sixth chapter and the first four verses of that chapter. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another.
The verses Adam just read are often used concerning the fact that we ought to be interested in other people and care about other people's souls and to help those who may be caught up in error or have a problem in their life to go help restore that person. But in those same verses, there's some other thoughts that we can consider this morning. And while we're considering other people and trying to help others, it's also important that we consider ourselves. He says there, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So the subject of self, the personal idea of me or I, as you would look at that, think about yourself for just a minute. As I think about myself, considering yourself, we ought to consider our own life, consider our own self, our own being. When we're trying to help others that may be overtaken in a fault or struggling with a problem or trying to help someone else with the burdens they're bearing, we need to consider ourselves lest we also be tempted and give in to the trials and troubles of life or the temptation of life. So consideration of, for others is very important. We never need to take that lightly. But this morning, let's take a few minutes and talk about considering ourselves. Look at our own life. You consider yourself as I consider myself, and the importance of knowing that I need to consider myself and that we each one need to examine his own work. So it's important to look at that and consider our own life. After all, I don't know your life and you don't know my life. I know what I see when I'm around you. You know what you see when you're around me. But we know our own life and God knows our own life. So in our relationship with God, he already knows who we are, what we're doing, our actions, our thoughts, our deeds, everything that we're involved in and our intentions of life. But are we considering ourselves and who we really are? We talked about this morning the idea of humbling ourselves before God and getting our heart right with God and having the right attitude. So let's think about our own self. As you look at yourself and I look at myself this morning and look at some things from the Word of God that will help us to measure and to look at ourselves and examine ourselves to see how we really are in our relationship with God, our relationship with others, our relationship with the church. In the Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, the word self is defined, the word S-E-L-F, is defined as an individual considered as an identical person, a being regarded as having personality, a being in its relationship to its own identity. So, yourself, myself. We're talking about self here this morning from God's Word. And the Bible has quite a bit to say about self, our own self and our life. So, let's look at some things that it teaches us about ourself and maybe consider these as we look at our own life this morning. Romans 12, verse 3 says, a man ought not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. So, I don't need to ever think too highly of myself. How do I learn how not to think too highly of myself? Well, as we talked about this morning, we humble ourselves before God. We put God in the forefront of our life and Christ in the forefront of our life, and we let that be our pattern and our goal. And so we don't become high-minded in that way. We don't think too highly of ourselves. We need to think about who we really are. James talked about our blessings in his prayer, the fact that we're thankful to God for the roof over our head, he said, and our food, clothing, and shelter, and the spiritual blessings So I don't ever need to think too highly of myself, because of my own self, I cannot put a roof over my head. Of my own self, I cannot provide things without God's blessings of growing the trees and the flowers and the seeds and the vegetables, the seeds that grow vegetables and the fruits we have, the things He provides for us and He put for us. At myself, I'm dependent on who? On God. So we need to look at our own life for just a few minutes and examine who we really are. How do we stand up in the sight of God? I'm turning now to the book of Proverbs, and if you will, turn there also to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. There's numerous places throughout the book of Proverbs that just talks about self, the personal being, the individual. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, and I'm going to read through verse 20. The wise man says, "Pride goes before destruction, and the haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the poor, proud. He who heeds the words wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he." So the idea of pride, I don't need to think too highly of myself. I don't need to be prideful. I need to always realize who I am and my position in life as I go through life. Everyone needs to be careful of that and avoid prideful thinking. Look at Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs 25 verses 6 and 7. There again, he says, "Do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great. For it is better that he say to you, 'Come up here,' than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen." So don't exalt our own self. Be careful that we don't think too highly of ourselves. Jesus talked about that in the idea of being invited to a wedding or something. And if you're invited to something, don't go up and place yourself in the front and think that maybe perhaps I belong here, but maybe I don't, and I'm asked to move so certain members can of the family can be there where they're supposed to be. I need to be careful that I keep myself in my proper place. You know, usually at a wedding, they'll have a place for the groom's family and the bride's family on each side and be reserved. And the guests will come in, and then they have their option to sit in the back on those benches or pews. But one would not be so prideful that they go up and sit themselves in the second bench from the front on the left where the bride's mother is supposed to be sitting. And so the same way at a funeral. They block off usually some places, some seats for the family, and or maybe some seats for the pallbearers, and one pew or so. And then who would be so prideful that they would go in and go and sit down in the second or third pew for the families to be seated and be in the way and be asked to move them? And so the idea is that there's a place in life. There's a place in life where we're to be. And so we're to be show that we don't think too highly of ourselves, that we can put ourselves anywhere we want to put ourselves and not have to face the consequences. So not to think too highly of ourselves. The Bible teaches some other things about me or I, ourselves. He says we should know and prove ourselves. Galatians chapter 3 that Alan read a few minutes ago. Let's go back there. Galatians chapter 6 and verses 3 and 4. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So we got to be careful, or we'll be deceiving ourselves, thinking we're something that we are not. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And so learning to evaluate ourselves by the Word of God so that we keep ourselves in the place we should be in life, the proper order. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 tells us that we should examine or test ourselves. And right in the church in Corinth, he said that each one of them should examine your own self to see whether you are in the faith. Examine yourselves to see whether or not you are in the faith. Examining ourselves, that's a personal thing. You can look at my life and you can see things that are wrong in my life, and it's appreciated if you'd come to me and tell me if I have sin in my life that you see,
that perhaps I may not be aware of, or I'm aware of it and just don't stop doing it, or should be doing something better, come to me and tell me. He's not talking about that type of thing of trying to help someone, but each one of us should examine ourselves daily. Examine your own selves whether or not you be in the faith. So that's up to you and up to me to examine ourselves. Am I right with God? Am I headed to heaven? Am I studying His Word and believing and obeying it? Am I doing those things? Examine ourselves. Do I need to change the way I think? Do I need to think to change the way I use certain words or the way I talk? Make sure I'm not cursing or swearing or using things that's off color, that's not right with God. Examine ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith. Because we're in essence, you are the only one that can make your own changes for yourself, and I'm the only one that can make the changes for myself, and that's making it up in our mind of who we are. Don't think too highly of ourselves. Know and prove ourselves and examine ourselves by the Word of God. So we can consider ourselves. Consider ourselves. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Let's go back there. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass or in a fault, you are switch your spirit to restore such one in the spirit of gentleness, considering your own self. Considering yourself, as some versions phrase it. Consider ourselves. Every day we ought to consider ourselves. Am I in the faith? Am I doing what's right? Am I giving in to things I shouldn't be giving into? Am I failing to do things that I'm supposed to be doing and I'm required to do? Considering ourselves. Self-evaluation. It's very important that we would do that. You know, over the years, I'm sure many of you have, you know, whether it be working in a factory, or whether it be working in a hospital, or whether it be teaching school, or in business, or whatever it is. I was in retail business for many years, and in corporate for many years. And when we were in corporate, every year they'd make you evaluate yourself. That's a hard thing. For January, come January 1, they gave you the paper to fill out, and you evaluated yourself, and then the president of the company, the vice president, they evaluated you then. And so they want you to evaluate yourself. But then they came back and said, well, this is what we said. This is what we're seeing. And so we need to evaluate ourselves all daily. And we evaluate it then by the Word of God. God evaluates us because He knows how we're supposed to be. And we can look to God's Word and find out how we're supposed to be. So we could consider ourselves then from the Word of God. Well, another thing the Bible teaches about ourselves is that we need to esteem others better than self. Look at Philippians chapter 2. If you will, and let's look at verse 3. It simply basically says what I just read off the chart, but he says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And then he says in verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than self. And so, we talked about this morning, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one. It is about others. Every day it's about others. But every day we don't need to forget about self. Am I walking in the right way? Do I have the right attitude about others? Do I have the right relationship with other people? Am I presenting myself as I should toward others? And have the right respect for others. In Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, we talked about that in the first lesson this morning. But Jesus gave the illustration of prayer and humility. And two men went up to the temple to pray. And here's this Pharisee. He said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Think about that. I thank you that I'm not like other men. So he esteemed other men less than himself. And so Jesus is saying, you should not have that attitude, because the other ones wouldn't even look up toward heaven. And he looked down and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so he understood the humility part, He understood the idea about esteeming others better than self to a certain extent in that prayer. But he also pointed out that which one of these do you think was justified? Well, the one that esteemed himself better than other men was not justified. But the one who humbled himself and esteemed others, he was justified. But the one who looked down on others and esteemed himself was not justified. And so there's a lot of thought in that for us to consider this morning. Well, regarding what the Bible says about self, there's some things it says that we should do. And one thing is is that we should not deceive ourselves. And we may deceive ourselves in a lot of ways. I can be deceived. Anyone can be deceived. But we may deceive ourselves by thinking that we're something when we are nothing. Go back to our text, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3 again. Thinking we're something when we are nothing. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. We have to be careful how we evaluate ourselves and not think too highly of ourselves and not regard ourselves higher than we should. And we can deceive ourselves by thinking we are something when we are nothing. And so I have to realize my place in life. And part of that is keeping humble. That's why these two lessons go together this morning. The humility part, humbling ourselves before God, obeying God, fearing God, loving God, humbling ourselves to Him so we can see ourselves as we are, as He identifies us through His Word, so that we don't think that we're something when we are really nothing. Well, we may deceive ourselves by ignoring the fact that we're not going to reap what we sow, that we can get by with sowing things that are wrong and not have to reap the results of it, or that we can get by not doing what we're required to do and not reap the results of it. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. He says, do not be deceived. What are we talking about? We're talking about we may deceive ourselves by what? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So, we have to be careful about the things we do, the place we go, the things we say, or the things we don't do or don't say. Because we, ignoring that fact, we realize that we'll reap what we sow. And if we think we don't have to reap what we sow, then we deceive ourselves. Well, we may deceive ourselves by saying that we have no sins. Look with me over to the last part of the New Testament, to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 John 1 and verse 8. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Deceiving ourselves. It has to be hard for me. And I would ask you the question this morning, is it hard for you to examine yourself and say, I'm in sin? One of the first things in overcoming sin and getting forgiveness of sin and being right with God is examining ourselves. When we're in sin, admitting that we're in sin. And that can be two ways. It may be that we've done things that we should not have done. It may be that we have left off things that we were supposed to do. Now, part of that could be one that's never been baptized into Christ. And they think, well, I don't really have any need for anything else, I'm okay. Well, we can't be saved without coming to God. If we hear the Word of God, we have opportunity to hear it, we have an obligation to obey it. And so then, the idea of deceiving ourselves and saying we don't have any sin we have need, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It may be that as Christian, we want to ignore the fact or don't want to admit the fact that maybe there's something in our life we need to correct. But if that's the case, then we're deceiving ourselves. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And so sin is something we have to be on guard for. We have to get forgiveness for. We have to ask God to forgive us. We have to repent of them. We have to confess them. That's why it's important to pray every day as an individual to God, numerous times daily. The attitude of a prayerful attitude every day, pray without ceasing. And certainly we would need that as human beings to be able to say all during the day, I thought something I shouldn't think, Father. I'm sorry, forgive me. So we have an advocate with the Father. We can go to him and get forgiveness on an individual basis. But perhaps it may be that there's sin in one's life and it needs to be acknowledged publicly so you can be right with God again and have a good relationship with the church, and if it's publicly known. And so in that case, do it. And you can be forgiven. If there's sin in your life as a Christian and you've sinned in the past and maybe you've been living in sin, if it's not a public sin and it's something you've done that's holding you back, go to God in prayer and ask him to forgive you. And he'll forgive you your sin. And then you can be faithful. You can be faithful to God. And if need be, you can let others know that, hey, I've confessed my sins to God and made them right. Saying we have no sin is deceiving ourselves. Well, hearing God's word and not doing it, we deceive ourselves. Let's go back to the book of James one more time this morning. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. James 1, beginning of verse 22. But be ye hearers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Being a doer of the word is so important. So important. Hearing God's word. Well, let's move along. Regarding ourselves, individual, yourself and myself, we should put away selfishness, deny God, and put God first. I want to put a few points on the board as we look at these. We should learn to control ourselves. Learn to control ourselves. Some of these points we've talked about earlier and things the Bible teaches about us. But these are things that we need to do regarding ourselves. Put away selfishness. Deny ourselves and put God first, Matthew 6:33. And then learn to control ourselves. 1 Corinthians 9:27, the Apostle Paul said, what I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should become a castaway. Colossians 3:1-7 points out that we need to learn to control ourselves and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and lay aside the sins that beset us, the works of the flesh, the sins of the flesh, the sins of this life. We need to learn to cleanse ourselves, and that's, we just talked about that. If we're a lagging sinner, be baptized into Christ. If we've been baptized into Christ, then we cleanse ourselves through studying the word, being obedient to the word, looking to the perfect law of liberty to see how we are. And if change needs to be made, we're making those changes. We need to go to God in prayer to get forgiveness. We go to God and get forgiveness. If we need to go to someone else and ask them forgiveness, we go to them and get forgiveness. We clean ourselves up by obeying the word. These are things that are important for ourselves. Put away selfishness, deny self, and put God first. Learn to control ourselves and cleanse ourselves. And we talked about this in the first lesson. Humble ourselves. Humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. Save ourselves. We can't save ourselves on our own. But Peter told them, after he had preached to those people on the day of Pentecost and told them exactly what they needed to do to be saved, they were pricked in their heart. They were moved by the word. Acts 2, verse 36. And he told them then the next four verses to repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of your sins. And then verse 41, they that gladly received the word were baptized that day. But what did he tell them in verse 40? I've told you what to do. You're pricked in your hearts. You said, brethren, what shall we do? I tell you, you need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of your sins. Now, what do you need to do, folks? Save yourself. How? You can't save your own self on your own will, but you can do it by coming to God, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. We save ourselves by making a move in faith to obey God and come in the right relationship with Him by doing what He requires of us. He does the saving. The action is on our part to submit to Him. Save ourselves. 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul told Timothy to teach the word, to teach other people, that you may save yourself and others also. Save yourself. Save yourself. Well, regarding ourselves, we should keep ourselves. 1 John 5, verse 18, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So, for as Christians, how do we keep ourselves in the right relationship with God? We study, we grow, we learn, and we apply and obey the word. And as we do that, the word guards us because it warns us of what's wrong. And when we do wrong, we realize it's wrong, and we make it right with God. We keep ourselves right with God by repentance and confession and continual growth, growing stronger and being obedient to God. Well, very quickly, I got to hurry. What about myself? Well, I need to learn, I must learn, how to correctly evaluate, examine, and test myself. Everyone must learn that in order to be right with God. 2 Corinthians 13:5, Galatians 6, 3, and 4. What about ourselves? It requires and involves a few more things, if you'll bear with me. It requires and involves examining by the right standard, and that standard we just read about is the Word of God. Examine ourselves by the Word of God, because He sets the standard. He lets us know what it is. He enables us to see what He sees in us and be able to see ourselves clearly, that we can meet His standard by following His rules. What about myself? I need to understand that I need to develop the proper attitude toward myself and toward God. Romans 12 and verse 3, we talked about that earlier, but I'm going to go back to it one more time and read that verse. I think the Apostle Paul, I know the Apostle Paul, knew good and well when he wrote this that people would need it. Romans 12, verse 3, for I say through the strength given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Develop the proper attitude toward ourselves and toward the Word of God and consider ourselves. Well, we move along. And what about yourself this morning? What about myself this morning? Well, we must learn to control, regulate, and conquer self. We must be willing to make all necessary, any and all necessary corrections. We need to understand that we may save ourselves by believing the Word of God and obeying the Word of God. Hebrews 11:6, Acts 2:40, and 1 Timothy 4:16. And that each one of us will stand in judgment by our own self and give an account only for ourselves. That should be awakening. That should be very thought-provoking when we see where we're going to be standing. So, what about yourself this morning? What about me? You'll have to answer for yourself, and I'll have to answer for myself. Do we have the proper regard for ourselves, for our life, for eternity? Because what we do here is going to reflect what happens in eternity. Where are we going? Let's have the proper regard. We need to look into God's Word, learn what He wants us to do, be willing by faith to obey Him. Let us examine ourselves and realize the importance of keeping ourselves right with God. If you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you're here this morning and you have something in your life you need to correct in a public way, if we can help you with that, we urge you to make those corrections so you can save yourself from the sins of this world and go to heaven.